The book of Psalms tonight. And I want us to consider some of the Psalms of thanksgiving, Psalms of wisdom, Psalms of fellowship, and Psalms of salvation. I believe that these will be very encouraging, at least they were as I was meditating on them. I pray that you will find them encouraging as well. Psalm 18. And I want us to consider Psalm 18 and Psalm 28. And then after we talk about it, think about it for a little bit, do something a little different tonight, and I'm going to ask Brother Royce to ready his mind for prayer, because these are really psalms of prayer. And what we discover in Psalm 18 is David, of course, being a servant of the Lord. And notice what is said here. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. If you notice, some nine things that David, the sweet singer of Israel, says about his God, his relationship with God, who God is to him. He loved the Lord, and he says, you are my strength. If you notice in verse number one and also in verse number two, you'll see strength used twice. However, they're two different Hebrew words. And so it says a lot about the psalmist and how he saw God. And from here, I want us to make a transition to Psalm 28. Okay? And keep in mind how the psalmist saw the Lord and who the Lord was to the psalmist. Okay? In Psalm 28. Verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Kipton, you ready to read? We're going to have Kipton read verses 1 through 5 and have Mark read verses 6 through 9. And let us stand as we are reading the Word of God. Now, let's look at a few things that we see in this particular psalm. In Psalm 1, notice what he says, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock, my stability, okay, my foundation, the one I stand on top of, okay? Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit, the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you. When you consider supplications, we're not talking about just prayer, but we're talking about earnestly taking one thing to God continuously. I often say that all supplication is prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. And so here we see the psalmist pouring out his heart to the Lord. He says, when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbor, but evil is in their hearts. Two things that we see here from the psalmist. Number one, in verse number three, he says, do not take me away with the wicked. I want no association with them. I want no association with them. Number two, they're two-faced individuals. Notice, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. It's one thing that we definitely don't want to be is two-souled individuals, as the book of James demonstrates. A double-minded man, a two-souled individual, is unstable in all their ways. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them. Now, notice this. The psalmist wants God to be the perfect judge. Render to them what they deserve. I remember again talking to a good brother, and we was talking about these passages, and he said something that really encouraged me and also challenged me. He said, truly, we don't talk and speak and pray like the psalmist. I mean, you get to saying things like that, you sound kind of harsh. Give them what they deserve. Yet the psalmist was talking this way. He thought this way. But notice verse 5, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. These are ones that don't respect God. And when a person doesn't respect God, they get what they deserve. Mark, verses 6 through verse number 9.
Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever.
Notice the language as we saw in Psalm 18, we see here in Psalm 28, especially verses 6 through the end of the division, 28. Blessed be the Lord. Now, notice why. Because he has heard. Sounds pretty confident, right? Sounds very confident. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5, look at verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. In 1 John 5, verse number 13, notice what the Bible there records for us. Verse 14, to be exact. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the confidence. I can be confident that God hears me? Yes, I can. Yes, we can. Okay? And so when you consider the psalmist, because he has heard the voice of my supplication, he was confident. Well, hold on. How does he know? Because he has a relationship with the Father. We have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. If you go back to Psalm 28, notice what he says. The Lord is my, notice the personal relationship. He's my strength. Going back again to Psalm 18. He's my shield. Okay? What do you think the psalmist is getting at? My strength, my shield. What comes to mind when you think of a shield? Protection? Yes, sir. Protection? Anything else? Yes, sir. help. Okay, good. Yes, sir.
When he says my shield, my comes to mind in my mind a personal thing.
That's right.
Relationship. A soldier never went into battle and left his shield at home.
That's right. That's right. Anyone else? All right. So when you think of a shield, of course, you have something that's blocking. You have this metal object, this flat metal object that's blocking what? What is blocking? All right. That's Ephesians 6. That's right. When you think of war, arrows, anything that could cause bodily harm. Okay. And so here, spiritually, he's my shield. Yes, sir. Say again. All right. That's good. That's good. All right. What else?
Defense.
Say again.
Defense.
A defense. So here, the Lord is my defense. Look at Psalm 84, I believe it is. Here, he uses this figure of speech in Psalm 84. Actually, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Psalm 84 and verse number 11. Brother Dennis, do you mind reading that? Psalm 84 and verse number 11. Notice what the psalmist here has to say. Do you mind reading that? That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead. Yes.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld those who walk uprightly.
Did y'all see that, friends? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so you consider the psalmist was one that definitely walked uprightly. He was definitely one that relied upon God. What happens when we do the same? When our relationship with God has these adjectives about God in it, our lives can't do nothing but be great, be good, be wholesome, be holy, be healthy. All right. Go back to Psalm 28. And the psalmist said in verse number 7, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. There's one theme that covers the entire Bible. One theme. God is saying one thing. Trust me. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Trust me. And everything that we read and study and meditate upon actually filters into that, lines into that, goes into that. Trust me. And one of the most difficult things to do is to trust God in everything. Okay? And so he says, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and my song I will praise him. And with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the salvation or the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people. Notice what he goes on to say here, friends. There's a lot of encouragement in this. We're going to stop here. I'm going to ask Brother Royce to come and lead us in a word of prayer of thanksgiving to God for those of us who've been delivered out of sin. And also, when you think about the things that we pray for on a daily basis, the things we need to be praying for, our prayers are not only spiritual in nature, but sometimes physical in nature. All right, Brother Royce.
Let us go to our Father in prayer. Our Holy Father, we take this opportunity to come to you at this time, thanking you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be called your children. Heavenly Father, we are mindful each and every day that you gave the greatest gift that heaven had to offer, that your Son was willing to leave the glories of heaven to come to this earth and to live among man. Then, Father, to die on that cross that we might have hope of eternal life. Heavenly Father, we would pray that along with the psalmist that we would have an attitude that we would look to you as our rock, our foundation, and our strength, Heavenly Father. That you would be our stronghold, that you would be our shield. Heavenly Father, we realize that each and every day that we must face the fiery darts of Satan and his wicked angels, his servants here on earth. God and Father, we are so thankful for so many things in this world. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we have to live in a nation of freedom such as we do. Heavenly Father, we pray that they would continue, if it be your will, that we might have free course to spread your word so that precious souls might be saved. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the physical blessings of life and for the physical things that we have, and Father, for the means that we have of obtaining the funds that we have to live upon this earth. And help us always to realize, Father, that these are to be used for your glory and your honor. Heavenly Father, we always want to be mindful as we stop in our daily life and give you glory and honor and thanks, Father, that we pray for the church, the body, Heavenly Father, of your dear Son, that it might grow physically in numbers. For in so doing, Heavenly Father, we realize that precious souls were being saved as a result of that. Heavenly Father, we realize that we need to pray for the church to grow spiritually and in faith. Heavenly Father, because that's where the trust comes that we need to always have. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the spiritual blessings that we have in this life. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for the church that your Son shed his blood for, that we're privileged to be a part of. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the word that you've given us because we are so privileged to be able to study our Bibles at any time and know that it is the inspired word that you gave to us and that it will guide each and every step that we take in this life. And through that word, Heavenly Father, that we have hope of eternal life. God and Father, we are so thankful for this avenue of prayer that we have. That not only, Heavenly Father, that we can let our cares be known to you and that we know that you hear us. Heavenly Father, that we can pour our hearts out to you when we're in need. But Heavenly Father, we can use this avenue of prayer to pray for others. And that Heavenly Father, we can lift up our voices in praise and honor to you that you so rightly deserve. Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative of this day that we have. We've come together this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Heavenly Father, this time of Bible study, as we come together this evening, study your word, to grow in it, to make application to our lives. And Heavenly Father, to use it each and every day as we strive day by day. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we go through these times to put aside the cares and worries of this life, that we might focus upon you and your will for us. We ask now that you'd be with us and strengthen us and guide us. Forgive us when we do have our shortcomings, when we sin against you, Father. Help us to have truly penitent hearts. And Father, when we repent, we know that you forgive. These things we pray through Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate that. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Prayer for wisdom, direction, guidance. The older I get, the more I realize I need wisdom and guidance. Not to say that when you're young, you don't acquire or you don't ask for it or you're not looking for it. But there is a deeper appreciation, at least it has been for me, as I need more wisdom and to be around those who have that wisdom, who know certain things about certain situations that will help. Well, the psalmist, he was in the same boat, did the same thing, wondered about the same thing. And so we're going to look at Psalm 39, and I'm going to ask Seth, if he doesn't mind, to read the first five verses, and then ask Daniel, if he doesn't mind, to read 6 through 13. I'll have Seth read 1 through 5. We'll make some comments, and then we'll read 6 through 13 and make some more comments.
I said, I'll take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. In my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me, while I was musing with my tongue burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily every man at his best stage is a long, altogether fantasy.
If you notice some of the things in the text and what the psalmist David is speaking of, notice what he says. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. There's something about the tongue. James chapter 3 talks about the tongue. And sometimes the tongue can get us in trouble. Our words are to be with grace, seasoned with what? With salt. What does salt do? It preserves. What else? It adds flavor. What else? Ma'am? It penetrates. That's a good one. What else?
It can sting a wound.
Sting a wound. What else?
Taste.
What else? Great answers. It can dehydrate. It's a good one. What else?
Preservative.
All right. Preservative. Okay. When you think of salt, it has great benefits to it. And so you think of our words being with grace, seasoned with salt, we ought to be a benefit to people. Well, the word of God is a benefit to us. But here he says, I will restrain my mouth with a bridle, with a muzzle. Now, that's interesting there that the psalmist would say this. There's a lot of wisdom in that. There's a time to speak and what? Time to be silent. Where is that? I can't remember. Ecclesiastes what? Chapter 3. There's a time to speak and it's not always speaking. There's a time to be silent, not always being silent, which means that you have to figure out, sometimes it's through experience, sometimes it is through what? Education. Romans 15:4, the things are written for our learning. We can learn so much on how certain individuals dealt with certain things. I'm reminded of how Jesus in John chapter 8 dealt with the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And remember what he did? What did he do when they came and they brought this case to her? What did he do? Did he say anything? He didn't say a word at that time. And then he raises up, he says something. What did he say? You who is without sin, cast the first stone. The main point I want to make is that he spent one opportunity to say nothing, spent the other opportunity to say something. And the thing that he said was just as piercing as when he didn't say anything. Or you can reverse that. Because really, you stop and you consider, how many of us probably would have said something because we knew something? We probably would have said something. We'll give them a piece of my mind, but not Jesus. Any comments? Yes, sir.
I think Greg of Amana, he actually wrote the dust of the temple floor. The dust of the temple floor has significance. If you go back to the Old Testament, they use that. force them to drink when they've been caught in adultery. We don't know exactly what he wrote. There's a symbolism there. It goes back to the Old Testament.
All right, good. What, you remember the passages back then? We'll ponder that. We'll get that. Anyone else? Appreciate that. But it's interesting that he said nothing at first, and then he says something. But when you go back to Psalm 39, he says, I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. It's very interesting. I was mute with silence. I kept my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. Now watch this. And when you look at the phrase, when especially in the New King James translation, he says, my heart was hot within me. Literally in the Hebrew, he says, I was inflamed. Yet he kept his mouth closed. He muted himself. Do you think that required a lot of, what's the word you think I'm thinking about? Say again? Self-control. Which is self-control. Lots of self-control. Because usually when we become inflamed, the heart becomes inflamed, we begin to lose control. And then things begin to spill out of our mouths. In this particular case, he says, my heart was hot within me. It's a figure to be inflamed within me. He says, while I was musing, I was meditating, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. See, it sounds like he was thinking about what he was saying before he said it. But he was meditating. He was musing. Look at Psalm 5, I believe it is. Psalm 5, verse number 1. In this division, same idea. Psalm 5 and verse number 1. Notice what it says. Here's a psalmist. Give ear to my words. Now, notice, O Lord, consider my meditation. Same word there. The idea of groaning, musing, meditating, thinking, and pondering. The discipline that it takes to meditate takes a lot of discipline to do that. Here the psalmist did this in Psalm 5 and also in Psalm 39. But look at Psalm 39, and I love verse number 4 and the end of verse number 5, because here the psalmist understood how fragile he was as a human being. I don't believe he's talking about fragile in mind, but as it relates to the human constitution, the makeup of mankind himself. He says, Lord, make me to know my end. That's why I'm thinking the way I'm thinking concerning the passage and letting it just draw out naturally. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? Psalm 90 and verse number 12 is a good reference right there that you can put in your notes. Indeed, you have made me or made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing, as nothing before you. Now, notice the latter part of that. Notice what he says. Certainly, every man at his best state. The Hebrew there has the idea of condition. In his best condition is but a vapor. Now, that reminded me of 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 8, I believe it is. Let's look at that real quick. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. That reminded me of that passage there. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 8, who has that?
For bodily exercise profits and living, but godliness is profitable for all things.
You see that?
Having promise of this life and now waits, and that which is to come.
You see? And so it made me think about that passage there. Bodily exercise profited little, godliness profited unto all things. And so we can do all that we can to keep this body in shape, and we should. However, we do know that even in our best condition, our lives is but a vapor. What is that? James 4, verse number 14. You know, and so you think of the idea of a vapor, a mist. So even the psalmist understood that here in this particular time. Daniel 6 through verse number 13.
Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches, and does not know that he will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute, I did not open my mouth, because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. And with rebuke you correct man for iniquity. You make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more.
Thank you. What do we gather from these passages? I mean, there's a lot going on in these passages. What do we gather? What are a few things that y'all see? Just off the top of your head, what do you see? Sir?
Kept silent.
Okay, ma'am? I didn't hear you. His contrite heart. All right, humble heart. Okay, anyone else? What else? Yes, sir, what do you see?
Memory served you correctly when David was speaking here. God had delivered him from not only all of his enemies, but also from Saul himself. And so he knew better than anyone who could protect him above all else. And I think the realization came home for him when he speaks his word.
Okay.
Because he speaks them so forcefully, you know, that he, in that verse, my heart was on fire, but I kept my mouth shut because I know who is in control of me.
How difficult is it for us when we know that the Lord is in control, but our discipline is not where it needs to be? How difficult does life become? How difficult does life become when we're not as disciplined as we need to be? If you notice what he says in verse 7, now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope's in you. It's in you. It's not in me. Deliver me from all my transgressions. When you think of transgression, you're talking about going against the will of God. Do not make me the scorn, literally in the Hebrew, of the foolish. The reproach. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. God, you're in control. You're in control. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity. That's interesting. He uses transgression earlier. Now he uses iniquity. And all of it is sin, but you're talking about different depths of sin, okay? Talking about lawlessness, doing that which is without authorization, authority. You make his beauty melt away like a moth. Again, he says what he says in verse number 5 as relates to man's state of vapor. Surely every man is vapor. And then he says, Selah. The idea of Selah there is the idea of stopping and considering what has just been read. Meditate on that. Think about that. And so notice what he says. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I'm a stranger with you. Seems like there's a little bit of a distance there. Maybe, maybe not. Don't know. But sometimes even in our own lives, we feel a little bit at distance from God. That happens. Doesn't mean that we are at distance, but sometimes we feel that way. I'm going to ask Brother Dennis now to come and lead us in a word of prayer. And what we want to be praying for is wisdom. And then we'll have one more thing to consider. We'll stop a few minutes early because I want Brother Dennis, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brother Jerry. And then we'll have Brother Raphael lead a couple songs if he don't mind. All right, Brother Dennis.
Would you bow with me? Almighty God, our Father, we are thankful once again, Father, that we can come together, we can study a portion of your word, that we can come now before you in prayer, that we can reach out to you, and that you will hear our petitions, and that we have our Lord and Savior, your Son, there to advocate on our behalf. We're thankful, Father, for your book of wisdom. We're thankful that you give it to us to study, to learn, to gain wisdom, to gain understanding of your will, what you desire of us. We know, Father, that one of the greatest things we can pray for is wisdom, to pray for that peace that passes understanding. And we seek that from you now. We seek it from you on a daily basis. Help us, Father, in our lives to live with wisdom, to speak with wisdom, to speak, Father, as you would have us to. Father, we can only do that with understanding of your word. Make us good students. Help us, Father, to have the patience that we need and the discipline that we need. Again, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your great care, for holding us in your arms. We know that only we can remove ourselves from you. Go with us, Father, through the rest of this study, through our week ahead. And truly, Father, may we walk in your paths. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Finally, Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And these were not just random psalms. It's really up to about Psalm 71, Psalm 72. We have the prayers of David ending in Psalm 72. In Psalm 73, you have Asaph and the sons of Korah. And it's very interesting. These are the Psalms of David. And so we find a man, of course, after God's own heart. I'm going to ask Nate Scott to ready his mind, Psalm 63, 1 through 5, and then Scott Allen, verses 6 through 11. We dare not look at all of these, of course, for time's sake, but there are a few that I want us to pick out as it relates to these psalms. Psalm 63, 1 through 5.
Good God, you are my God. Rarely will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have lived for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than mine. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you for your words.
Notice a few things in the text here. David, of course, he says, "O God," again, notice the personal relationship. You're my God. And one thing I do love about David, David didn't mind sharing his God. He would talk about his God. Yet he was personal. It was his God. And really, that's the way we ought to be thinking about it. God, you're my God. Jesus, you're my Savior. But I'm not selfish. I'm going to go out and I'm going to share. I'm going to share it. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm going to tell it. I'm not going to sit on it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to be selfish with it. He says, you're my God. Early will I seek you. Reminds me of Mark 1, verse 35, when Jesus rose up early before day and went to a solitary place. And the Bible says there he prayed early in the morning. I've learned over the years that getting up early, studying, praying, it helps. Sometimes it's a hard habit to keep going, especially when you want to lay in bed for a little bit. But you got to almost force yourself sometimes. Force yourself sometimes. And so when you think of the relationship, he says, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh long for you. Notice the intimacy here, friends. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Well, with God, there's always water. Jesus said, I am the what water? Living water. He's the living water. He's our water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary. I put in my Bible, intimate, personal, intimate and personal. See, to see your power and your glory. Now watch verse 3. because your loving kindness, that's a powerful word right there. The Hebrew word is the Hebrew word chesed. Loving kindness, care, concern. The proper perspective that the psalmist has here is worthy of our attention. Notice, he says, because your loving kindness is better than what, friends? It's better than life. What? What can be better than life? The loving kindness of Almighty God. God is so loving kind. God is so kind. And the very fact that it is through his kindness that he's even allowing the gospel to go out kind of reminds me of Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4 and 5. Look at Titus 3 and 4. Titus 3 and 4 real quick. Titus 3 and 4. Titus 3 verse 4. Notice what Paul says by inspiration here. Titus 3 and verse number 4. This is after he said that we're foolish, disobedient, so forth and so on. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It is through the loving kindness of God that we even have an opportunity to approach God. And so here the psalmist says in Psalm 63 and verse number 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Do I have to wait for Sunday to do that? Mm-mm. Stephen, how often can I praise God? Anytime. There are some songs that, especially when you think of the songs that we're privileged to sing here, sometimes they can be on your mind all day. And that's the purpose. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be singing. And we're going to be singing here in a few minutes a couple songs with Brother Raphael with this idea in mind. So we had two prayers, Brother Dennis and then Brother Royce and then Brother Dennis, and this idea of singing. And we want to be lifting up God in worship, praise, singing toward God. Notice what he says. Thus, I will bless you while I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. It's a great passage there. You know, when you think of those in denominationalism, they talk about the lifting up of holy hands. That's not what Paul is talking about there. He's talking about lifestyle. One's lifestyle must be holy before they can approach God in holiness. You must worship God in the beauty of holiness. And so we see something very powerful from the psalmist. He says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. What does that sound like? Marrow and fatness. Yeah? Sounds deep. Anyone else?
Strength and health.
When you think the marrow of a bone, especially in the human, what happens if the marrow within our bones began to deteriorate or have some type of cancer? What begins to happen to us? We become what? We become fragile. I think that I could say this. Evelyn's mother, my mother-in-law, had some bone marrow problems years ago and became very fragile, fell down, and broke some bones in her back because of the marrow in the bone. Think about that. But when we consider strength, here we understand that the psalmist understood, he said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Also, you think about eating meat. You can think about that. And so kind of consider that. Verses 6 through verse number 11, Scott.
When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for darkness. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped.
Notice what he says in verse 6. We'll make a few points and then Brother Raphael will lead us in a few songs. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I put in my Bible a little note, quiet time. How important is it for us to have quiet time with God? It's so important, friends. If our device is always on, if we're always online, when do we have time to go online with God? You have to separate yourself. Here he says, I remember you on my bed. I meditate, I ponder. This is a different word than what we've discovered as relates to the musing on you in the night watches. Notice what he acknowledges. Because you have been my help. Wasn't helping myself. You helped me. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you, meaning God is leading the way. I'm not getting in front of God. I'm not getting on side of God. I'm staying behind God and I'm close to him. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. The lower parts of the earth is the idea of a pit, the idea of a pit. And I believe it's safe to say he's most likely talking about Hades, Sheol, if you will. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals, but the kings shall rejoice in God. The king shall rejoice in God. You believe he was talking about himself? Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. I believe there's something very encouraging there for us. When we think about fellowship, 1 John 1, verses 1 through 5, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we ought to meditate on his word. We ought to spend quiet time with God. And his time is our time, and our time should be his time.